2016美国弘法行修心七要三，慈城罗珠堪布讲授。更多课程请访问堪布官方网站www.慧灯之光.com。
我今天就能想咱爸妈给咱东坡拉烟村做工，我的妈妈做的就是张国栋看着孟婆哥姐姐就是的星期老家小时候我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红把子我的爸妈舍得我妈红班子个的爸妈舍得我接拉大家说话的遍地到时候刚的你别插手那当我们打不出去吧抓紧别人抓的手中等的我们家伙让要拉向咋了刚刚露出这么你这么你的那么大老师今年冬干江山是学人年纪的个老老王子刚到这边子马里门子等我来接着这边这座跟老婆姐娘老这边要等送这的了解中年末年龙里接着这种子讲马里门子等我来今年中子拉着那么多年大江三平他所有的来做接着的就找这道这你坚定道路门虽然像我让要拉得得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马拉巴扎那得我马乌马拉巴扎那的最的人机机接着我这的机道路的门门把的是你挂当当去中路东吧别闹啊记得说了娘机进步做的人你没想说你没那么进步那家巴克的当刚参图什么都东吧都去讲了想咋路
啊，各位师兄，大家晚上好。
Good evening, everyone.
我们现在准备讲啊今天的课啊，听课之前，请大家发菩提心。
We are going to begin with this evening's teaching, and before we do, please everybody make an aspiration of bodhicitta with which to listen to this evening's teaching.
啊、什么叫做菩提心我们、啊、前几天也给大家介绍了、啊、简单的说、啊、用一句话来这个表达、啊、菩提心的意思的话、啊、就是说我们、啊、为了一切众生的解脱、啊、下决心、啊、我要成佛、啊、就是我一定要为了一切众生成佛为了成佛、啊、我要学习修行，嗯，这样子的承诺啊，这样子的决心，叫做菩提心。
So over the last couple of nights, we have looked at what it is that we mean by bodhicitta, and putting it very simply in just one sentence, it is the resolve to work for the liberation of all beings, and in order to do this, to attain Buddhahood. And it's in respect of this goal of attaining Buddhahood to help all beings that we engage in the study of the Dharma and the practice of the Dharma. And it's this resolve or determination that is what we refer to with the term bodhicitta.
啊，然后这个菩提心啊，我们前几天、昨天也讲过了这个菩提心的修法。如果没有一个实际的修行的话，那我们啊、要发起这个菩提心，确实不是很容易。
So, yesterday evening we taught on a bodhicitta cultivation practice. Without actually practicing or cultivating bodhicitta, actually making this aspiration is quite difficult.
啊，那么我们每一个人都要想一想啊，我们的人生的目标 应该是什么？什么可以作为我们的值得作为我们的人生的目标？这个非常的重要。昨天我们也讲过了，我们这个这一生当中其实是有非常好的机会，但是呢，能不能这个抓住这个机会这个我们就是要看我们自己的人生的计划。如果我们的计划错了虽然是有很好的这个机会，但是呢，最终我们还是没有得到任何，不会得到任何的东西。如果有一个比较准确的这个计划，人生的计划，这样子的话，我们的人生就是有了目标有了方向就是往这个方向奋斗的话就一定会有收获的。
So each of us really needs to consider what our life goal is, what is worthwhile or worthy of being our life goal. It's very important that we consider this question. As we spoke about the other evening, this human life that we have represents a wonderful opportunity. However, whether we seize this opportunity or not is really up to us. And this really rests on our life plan. If the plan that we set for ourselves, for our lives ahead, is in error, is mistaken, then if we go according to this plan, then we will ultimately end up empty-handed. Whereas if the life plan that we set for us is a proper one, is a correct one, then by followingthis goal or this direction, by investing energies in following this plan, then we will surely have results at the end.
那我们有些人认为就是金钱可以解决我们的所有的问题，然后有些人呢就是因为权力可以解决我们的所有的问题这样子等等有很多很多的这个误解。其实金钱也可以解决我们的一部分的问题，权力也可以解决一部分的问题但是呢，有一个问题呢，确实是金钱没有办法解决，权力没有办法解决。然后我们很多人非常的重视这个人际关系人际关系，这个人脉的关系也不能解决的一个问题有一个这样子的问题呢，总有一天我们今天在座的所有的人都要面对那么面对这个的时候呢，我们应该怎么办我们用什么东西来面对这个我们今天必须是每一个人要思考的问题。
Some people feel that money is able to solve all problems. Others believe that power is capable of solving all problems, and so on. We have many confused understandings about what is able to solve the problems in our life. And while it is possible that money is able to solve some of our problems, and perhaps power is able to solve some of our problems, and the same might be said too for personal connections and relationships, there is one major issue in respect of which none of these things is able to solve. And this is something that every single person has to ultimately confront in their life. And how we go about facing this one major issue is something we all need to consider very seriously, and it's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
好，那么这个时候呢，我们应该用什么样的方法来解决这个问题？用什么样的办法？用什么样的方法来面对呢？就是我们平时我们非常非常重视的这个金钱权力关系等等这些东西呢，这个时候就会失去他们的所有的价值，所有的这个能力，也就是说这些东西在这个时候是根本就用不上，没有任何的意义就会有一个这样子的一天那么这个时候呢，我们真正能够用得上的用得上的是什么呢？用得上的就是这个菩提心。
So how do we go about facing this challenge that inevitably lies before us? It's not something that money or power or connections is really going to assist us with. At the moment that it arrives, none of these things will be of any use or of any value to us. And on this day, which will inevitably and surely come for each of us, the only thing that will be of value to us is bodhicitta.
那我们很多人对佛教有各种各样的这个误解，那么有些人呢就觉得学了佛以后，自从学了佛以后，就要放下所有的这些世俗的生活，然后就有些人呢觉得学了佛以后就要接受很多很多的约束，也就是我们讲的戒律等等，有很多的这样子的误解，其实。我们学佛的时候呢，我们也并不是说把所有的世俗的生活世俗的这个工作都放弃这个是不可能的不可能的。所以呢我们一方面有这个世俗的工作生活，同时有一部分的时间用来学习修心打坐尤其是修菩提心这样子的话，这两个佛教的修心跟这个世俗的生活，这两个我们可以做到不矛盾，而且可以做到很圆融。
Many people have a misunderstanding about what Buddhism is and what Buddhist practice entails. They believe that Buddhism requires them to let go of and abandon all of their worldly or mundane life and to take on or accept many restrictions and curtailments. There are many understandings of this kind of nature.In fact, studying Buddhism doesn't require to let go all of our worldly activities and our work in our worldly lives. It's possible for us to continue our worldly existences, but at the same time to reserve some time, an amount of time for the study and the practice of Buddhism, and in particular the cultivation of bodhicitta. So it's possible for us to...have a situation where not only Buddhist practice and worldly life do not exist in conflict with each other, but in actual fact where they exist in a harmonious and complementary way.
然后呢，如果有菩提心，如果有菩提心的话，那么这个里面呢，就是包含了很多很多的内容。只要有菩提心，然后我们不接受其他的约束，都没有问题的。那本来佛教的这个戒律或者是佛教的这些约束都是根据自己的情况来决定，也就是自己决定接受多少条戒或者是接受多少的这个约束本来就是可以自己可以选择然后尤其是如果有菩提心的话，那么这个菩提心当中呢就包含了所有的这些所有的这些善所以呢我们只要有菩提心的话，那就是可以说这个当中呢一切都包含了佛在佛经里面呢也有一个非常著名的一句话那佛说什么呢？想成佛的人就不需要学太多太多的法，就学一个那么一个是什么呢？就是慈悲心一个就是慈悲心也就是说，如果我们学慈悲心、学菩提心这样子的话，那么如果没有其他的学习、其他的修心也没问题，这个当中都包含了。
If we are able to cultivate bodhicitta, then bodhicitta in itself includes or encompasses a great deal within it. So it is possible for us to cultivate bodhicitta, and through doing so, for it not to be necessary for us to take on any further restrictions or discipline or vows in addition to this.In actuality, discipline, ethical discipline within Buddhism is something that is determined in light of one's own situation. So every individual has choice over what extent of discipline they take on, how many vows they decide to keep, etc. But in fact, in relation to bodhicitta, it is said that bodhicitta encompasses all virtue or all positiveness. And it is also said in the sutras that for those who wish to attain Buddhahood, it's not necessary to cultivate many practices. Just one is sufficient, and this is compassion. And so it's therefore the case that by cultivating compassion, cultivating bodhicitta, that this in itself is an all-inclusive practice approach, not necessitating us to cultivate many other practices in addition to this.
所以这个金钱啊，物质啊，不管它的这个实质的价值有多大啊，反正没有这个我们没有办法生存，嗯，所以需要这个就是生存的条件啊，必然的必须的条件，嗯，那么这是我们的生存的条件，那这个条件肯定是我们每一个人自己去创造。啊，所以我们作为一个世俗的人，一个普通的人，啊，去挣钱工作，有世俗的这个生活，啊，这个是很正常的。所以呢，佛，啊，从来就是不会要求啊放下所有的这个世俗的啊生活，除非是我们出家了，除非是我们像弥勒日巴大师一样放下所有到山里面去修行啊，否则的话，在一般的情况下。佛没有这样子的这个没有这样子的要求啊，所以我们一方面啊就有这些工作生活，另外一方面呢啊发菩提心啊，这样子完全是可以的。
So money and material things, regardless of their actual value, we do need a basic level of material existence in order to survive. And in so far as creating this material foundation of life, this is something that everyone has to do for themselves. So needing to work, needing to make money, needing to have a worldly life, all these things are very normal. And so for this reason, the Buddha never required of us that we abandon everything, except of course if we decide to become ordained, to leave home, like Milarepa, go into the mountains and practice in solitude. For those of us, the majority of us who have everyday life, who have work to hold down, then it is fine to do these things, cultivating bodhicitta at the same time. This is a fine approach to take to one's life and practice.
然后呢，释迦牟尼佛就是给当时的一个国王就讲了一句话，非常出名的。我们大乘佛教里面呢经常都在引用这句话啊。那么佛对这个国王说什么呢？佛对这个国王说因为国王他有很多很多的事情他比其他很多很多人。忙所以呢佛就是说你没有时间去做太多太多的事情学习啊修行呢没有太多的时间那么你就先发一个这个圆菩提心圆菩提心是什么呢？先目前还没有实际的行动，但是有这个心愿这叫做圆菩提心。那有什么样的心愿呢？不管我多忙不管我要处理太多太多的事情，但是我最终我的目标我的目标不是这些事情不是这些事情，因为这些事情呢，我暂时我有责任比如说国王他有他的责任那我们每一个人也有家庭的责任、社会的责任，每一个人都有自己的责任所以。有些事情呢不是我很需要，但是呢因为我有这个责任，所以我要去做但是这些事情不是我的终极的目标，不是我终极的目标，不是我真正的需要的不是我的人生的这个最终极的目标那么我的 最终极的目标是什么？我的不仅仅是这一生啊，我的生生死死的一个目标是什么呢？就是我只有一个目标啊，一个目标就是我为了啊，让天下所有的众生从生死轮回当中获得解脱啊，为了这个啊，为了这个而我要成佛啊，这就是我的啊最终极的目标。只要我们有一个这样子的目标啊，只要我们真正的有一个这样子的目标的话，那暂时目前啊，我们没有太多的这个实际的行动的话，那这个需要这个有一个过程的。目前因为我们很忙，有很多的事情，所以呢啊、没有太多的这个实际行动的话也是啊没问题的啊，就是有一个这样子的圆菩提心就已经是非常非常不错的啊，这个是释迦牟尼佛亲口说的啊。所以呢我们学大乘佛教啊，学大乘佛教其实啊，大乘佛教是一个非常非常人心化的啊这个佛教，所以我们啊不需要受太多的约束，也并不是说我们学了佛以后把我们所有的世俗的东西全部啊扔掉啊，这些都不是这样子。所以我们啊这个有我们把佛法和工作啊，佛法和生活要圆融啊，要圆融啊，这个就是我们目前的唯一的一个比较正确的学佛的方法。
There's a story of the advice that the Buddha gave to a king in ancient times, and this advice, this story is very often repeated in the Mahayana teachings. And this king in question was extremely busy, more busy with his responsibilities than most ordinary people. And so the Buddha knew that he didn't have much time to devote to the study and practice of Buddhism. So he advised the king that given his situation, he could instead start off with making an aspiration of bodhicitta, so with relative, making an aspiration of relative bodhicitta. Even though for the time being this might just be an aspiration, not accompanied by much concrete action, this would nevertheless be an appropriate approach for the king. So how did the Buddha advise the king to make this aspiration of bodhicitta? Well, what he advised him to do was, regardless of how busy he was, the responsibilities that he had to fulfill were not or should not be the primary tasks, or they're not the primary or ultimate ends in themselves, despite the fact that the king had responsibility to those in his kingdom, just like householders have responsibility to their family members. And it's necessary for everyone to fulfill the different responsibilities that they have in their lives with an aspiration of bodhicitta. These tasks and responsibilities that we have to fulfill don't become our ultimate goal in ourselves, in their selves. The ultimate goal instead becomes not just for this life, but for all lives to come, that we undertake all activity with the purpose of delivering all beings from the sufferings of cyclic existence, so that they may obtain liberation, and that in order to satisfy or fulfill this goal, we vow to first attain Buddhahood ourselves in order to be more effectively bring about this goal. And so long as we have this, we engage in our actions, our everyday actions and responsibilities with this goal in mind, then even if for the time being we are not able to back up this aspiration with so much concrete action, this is okay. This is what we talk about as bodhicitta, as aspiration or aspirational bodhicitta. And this advice was imparted by the Shakyamuni Buddha himself. So we can see from this really that the Mahayana teachings are very humane. They're very they very much meet the needs of humans in their life. It's not necessary for us to abandon everything necessarily in practicing Buddhism. It's possible for us to bring our practice, and indeed it's necessary for us to bring Buddhism and our lives together. This is the only proper approach we can take to our Buddhist practice.
那我们作为一个普通的人我们去追求或者是向守现实生活当中的幸福和快乐那这是正常的合理的为什么这么说呢佛教里面讲因果善恶因果那我们的现在的这个生活也就是说我们人类的这个生活这个不是我们因为我们过去造罪今天我们来这个赎罪这个受苦那是什么呢就是因为我们过去积德行善积德行善的果报所以我们今天就是这个果报成熟了以后呢我们有机会就作为一个人我们今天不是一个地狱的众生也不是一个恶鬼道的众生也不是一个动物我们是一个人那为什么我们不是动物不是这个恶鬼为什么是人呢那是因为我们过去行善积德所以我们今天就变成了一个人那我们的这个我们自身变成了人然后我们现在所拥有的这个生活是我自己在过去行善积德这积德的这个果报那既然是这样子的话那我们有资格有权利去享受或者是去追求现实生活当中的所有的这些幸福和快乐只要我们的幸福和快乐不会伤害到别人只要我们的幸福和快乐没有建立在别人的这个痛苦之上这样子的话那我们享受也好追求也好都没有问题的佛教从来没有要求我们放下所有的这世俗当中的这些生活当中的幸福和快乐那佛教对我们的要求是什么呢佛教就是说我们应该懂得追求更高的幸福追求更高的幸福现在的幸福和快乐可以的可以享受也可以追求但是呢佛鼓励我们让我们去追求更高的这个幸福更高的快乐这就是佛的这个教育佛的要求
So that we in our human forms pursue or enjoy happinesses in our everyday and worldly lives is something that is normal and is reasonable as well. And the reason for this is due to the law of karmic cause and effect. This is the case because in our current lives, the current happiness that we have, the lives that we do have, are not the consequence and not the product of negative action on our part in the past. Rather, this human life that we have, this opportunity for rebirth in human form, is the fruit or the product of past positive action and merit accumulated in past lives. So it's as a result of this past positive action and merit accumulated that we are here in this human form and not in the form of an animal or a hungry ghost or a being of the lower realms. So given that we are here in a human form in this current life and it is the consequence of our past positive action, then we areentitled fully to enjoy the happinesses that we have in this life and to pursue happiness in our worldly lives too. So long, that is, as our pursuit of happiness doesn't harm others or isn't premised on causing the suffering of others. So there is no issue or no problem with pursuing happiness and enjoying the happinesses that we do have. The Buddha never asked us to abandon all happiness in our everyday lives. However, what the Buddhist teachings do urge us to strive for and do encourage us to strive for is a higher form of happiness. And this is something that what the a Buddhist education entails.
那么我们每一个人可以去追求或者是这个享受幸福和快乐啊，可是我们啊只懂得这个通过感官的刺激所获得的这个只懂得追求或者追求和享受通过感官的刺激所获得的幸福和快乐啊，我们绝大多数的人就认为幸福就是这个啊，快乐就是这些啊，除了这些以外，我们很多人就觉得没有别的幸福和快乐啊。其实不是这样子啊，通过这个感官的刺激所获得的这个快乐，也就是我们的生活当中我们所感觉到的幸福和快乐。那除了这个以外，还有很多其他的幸福，更高的幸福和更高的这个快乐啊，只不过我们啊没有发现还有其他的这个快乐啊，幸福，我们以为幸福和快乐只有这些啊，所以我们只懂得追求这些，所以我们只懂得享受这些。除了这个以外，更高的幸福和快乐呢？因为我们不知道，我们不了解，所以我们也没办法去享受，也没有办法去啊这个追求啊。那么佛就鼓励我们啊，佛告诉我们还有其他的幸福快乐啊。真正的幸福，实质上的幸福和快乐呢，并不是我们现在在现实生活当中所获得的这些快乐啊，这些快乐，这些幸福，这些快乐，虽然我们认为是快乐幸福，但是实际上啊，这个还不是真正的快乐。快乐，真正的快乐就在啊，就在除了这个以外，还有啊，还有很多更高层次的啊，更好的这样子的快乐，我们可以去追求啊。每一个人都有这样子的机会，所以佛就让我们去追求快乐啊，不是佛让我们放弃所有的快乐和幸福，不是佛让我们啊这个放弃幸福啊，接受痛苦啊，不是这样，佛还是让我们去追求更好的幸福啊。然后大乘佛教呢，它就是说不仅仅是鼓励我们去追求我们自己的幸福和快乐，而且大乘佛教鼓励我们啊去追求天下所有人的幸福和快乐。
So everyone indeed can pursue and is entitled to pursue and enjoy happiness. However, if the only form of happiness that we know how to enjoy and pursue is happiness that is derived from sensory gratification, then this is a limited understanding. However, many people, this is the only way that the only form that they understand happiness to be. Aside from happiness derived from sensory gratification, there is in fact a great deal of other forms of happiness available to us. However, because we don't know about them, we don't understand these other forms of happiness, we only know how to pursue and enjoy those kinds that are derived from sensory gratification. However, what the Buddha taught us is, in fact, that we should pursue real happiness, and that this real happiness is not actually these forms of happiness that are derived from sensory gratification, even though we often think that it is. This real form of happiness is something that exists in higher forms, that is, forms higher than the kind of happiness that we are habituated to pursuing. And these higher forms of happiness is something something that everybody has the opportunity to pursue and enjoy for themselves. And indeed, the Buddha strongly encourages us to pursue these higher forms of happiness. So we can see then that the Buddhist teachings are not encouraging us to abandon the pursuit of happiness and to take on suffering, but rather to pursue a better form of happiness. And as students of the Mahayana path, we not only pursue this better form of happiness for ourselves, but also pursue this better form of happiness for all living beings.
我们只懂得追求通过感官的刺激所获得的这个幸福，我们认为除了这个以外没有幸福啊，这个就好像啊，一个在乡下长大的这个小孩啊，从来都没有吃过其他的甜的啊，那这样子的小孩，他认为甜啊，什么叫做甜？甜是什么呢？就是甘蔗。甘蔗的味道就是甜，他认为除了这个以外没有甜的蛋糕、巧克力还有其他的糖果他从来都没有吃过，所以他认为甜就是甘蔗所以他想吃甜的的时候呢然后就到田里面去找甘蔗来吃然后比如说在牧区长大的一个小孩，他也从来都没有吃过其他的甜品那这样子的小孩，他以为什么叫做甜？牛奶就是甜除了牛奶以外，这个世界上没有什么甜的所以呢，他想吃甜的东西的时候呢，去找牛奶喝因为他也从来都没有吃过其他的这个甜品所以他就只知道这一点那我们现在也是，我们也就只知道通过感官的刺激所获得的幸福，我们认为这个就是幸福，除了这个以外没有幸福，没有这个快乐，快乐和幸福就是这些但是我们现在呢，我们凡夫人呢，就像一个乡下从来没有吃过其他甜品的小孩一样然后我们同时我们也就像在牧区除了牛奶以外没有吃过任何其他的甜品的小孩一样的，我们从来没有尝过这些稍微比较高一点的这个幸福和快乐，比如说我们绝大多数的人绝大多数的人真的还没有这个感受到过一些有些幸福和有些这个快乐，比如说我们打坐修行的时候呢，有一个感受叫做禅悦禅悦，喜悦的悦，这个就是通过禅定所获得的一种喜悦的感受，叫做禅悦。我们感受过吗？我们从来没有感受过然后就是这个利他利他慈悲心和菩提心所带来的幸福，对我们自己，对我们自己的人生，对我们的这个生活的满意然后这个满意满足感所带来的这个幸福，根本就不是像我们通过感官的刺激所获得的这个幸福和快乐一样。但是我们多数人也没有从来也没有尝到过这样子的这个幸福，没有感受过这样子的幸福。所以佛就告诉我们不要停留在这种幸福和快乐的这个层面上这个幸福快乐，我们现实生活当中的幸福快乐，是我们自己的过去的这个积德行善积德行善的这个果报所以我们当然是可以去追求，当然可以去享受。但是呢，如果我们只懂得这一点的这个享受这一点的这个追求，如果永远都停留在这个层面上的话，那就是佛就觉得我们 就活得了一个人生啊，还不懂得追求其他的，那确实是不划算啊。所以呢，佛就告诉我们啊，现在你拥有的幸福都可以，都不需要放弃，但是呢，希望你啊更进一步的啊，更上一层楼啊，就是以这样子去追求幸福啊，这就是大乘佛教的啊这个精神啊，大乘佛教的思想，大乘佛教的核心的思想。那然后我自己获得了这样子的幸福的时候呢，然后我们把这个幸福和快乐分享给更多的人，我们希望更多的人也就能够感受到这种幸福和快乐啊。那这就是大乘佛教的这个核心的思想。
However, if we only understand how to pursue happiness derived from sensory gratification, that is, if we only know to equate happiness with this kind of pleasure that is derived from sensory gratification, then we'll be just like a child from the countryside or a child from a remote nomadic area who has never in their life tasted any form of sweetness other than that from the sugar cane. And a child in this situation who has never before tasted any other forms of sweetness or sweet food such as cake or sweets or chocolate, such children in this situation wouldn't know that these are perhaps superior forms of sweetness. And whenever they felt the desire to eat something sweet, they would go immediately to the field to look for the sugar cane. And for a nomadic child who had never tasted any other form of sweetness other than that, the sweetness of milk, would in a similar way, every time they experience the desire for sweetness, would go to find some milk for themselves. So as we are in our present situation, we are like children only knowing the sweetness of sugarcane, only understanding sensory gratification as happiness. That is, we only understand happiness as existing in this form. And the reason for this is that we've never tasted superior forms of happiness. For example, other major forms of happiness beyond these kinds that are derived from sensory gratification may include the bliss that is derived from meditation, meditative bliss. However, for the majority of us, this is something that we have never experienced before. At the same time, compassion and bodhicitta, the happiness that is derived from cultivating compassion and bodhicitta, is a source of great personal satisfaction. However, the majority of us never experience these things. What the Buddha taught us, or what the Buddha encouraged us to do, was not to simply stop at our current level of understanding in relation to happiness, but to aim higher. Of course, we are entitled fully to enjoy the current pleasures and happinesses that we have in our life, given, as we said, that they are the karmic consequence of positive merit accumulated in previous lives. However, if we remain at this point and don't move any further, don't aim higher, then from a Buddhist point of view, this we have this excellent opportunity of a human life, and not using it to aim for higher pursuits is in fact a bit of a waste. So it's not necessary for us to abandon our worldly lives and abandon the happinesses that we may have, but to aim higher, to aim for somewhat higher forms of happiness. And this, what we have described, is the attitude of the Mahayana teachings, the spirit of the Mahayana teachings, what you might call the core Mahayana thought. According to this thought, after we have obtained, higher forms of happiness for ourselves, then we go about sharing these forms of happiness with others. This is the principal core of the Mahayana teachings.
好，那这种幸福，我们什么时候开始追求 啊，这种幸福，我们什么时候开始享受了这种幸福呢？啊，自从我们发菩提心啊，就关心别人啊，爱天下所有的众生，慈悲天下所有的众生啊，那这个时候我们就开始追求了更高的这个幸福，同时我们也开始享受啊更高的幸福。
So this higher form of happiness, when is it that we begin to pursue it? And from when is it that we begin to enjoy it? Well, from the time that we are able to cultivate bodhicitta and thus care for and have compassion for all living beings, then from this time onwards, we begin our sincere pursuit of this higher form of happiness and also begin to enjoy this higher form of happiness as well.
啊，这个时候呢，就像这个乡下的牧区的孩子啊，开始啊吃巧克力，开始吃蜂蜜啊，开始吃这个啊蛋糕啊的一样，我们也就是开始从原来的这个基础上啊，现有的这个快乐的基础上，我们再去追求另外一种更高的幸福啊，这个就是我们开始修菩提心的时候，开始修慈悲心的时候呢，实际上啊，这一切都开始了。
And in so doing, we will be like that child from the countryside or the nomadic child who begins to taste the sweetness of honey or begins to taste the sweetness of chocolate. That is, upon our original foundation of understanding, we begin to aim for higher forms of happiness. And so when we begin our practice of cultivating bodhicitta, then our pursuit and our enjoyment of this new form and higher form of happiness begins in earnest.
啊，为什么这个时候我们开始追求和享受这个更高的幸福呢？啊，就有一句啊，有一句非常流行的一句话啊，那流行这句话，我觉得说的非常的好啊，就是说，爱就是被爱的开始。啊，其实真的是这样子。我们啊，爱天下所有众生的时候呢，那么天下所有的众生也就是开始爱我们。那这样子，我们爱天下所有的众生，然后天下所有的众生爱我们。那这样子，爱就是充满了这个世界啊。也就是说，我们慈悲天下所有的众生，然后天下所有的众生也会慈悲我们啊。那这样子以后呢，这个慈悲就充满啊这个世界这个社会啊，这样子以后呢，我们每一个人都感觉到真正的这个幸福和快乐啊，就像修女 Teresa， 她比如说爱无数的人啊，爱了无数的人，那么无数的人也就爱她啊，大家都知道的这种感觉啊，这种感觉，这种我们啊有这样子的慈悲心，当我们的心里真正的升起来了这个慈悲心，而且在这个慈悲心的基础上，我们做到了有一点点啊，哪怕是一点点啊，利他的这个事情啊，利他的这个事业，然后这个利他的事业啊，对我给我们自己带来的这种满足感和幸福感啊，绝对会超越所有的啊吃喝玩乐所得到的这个过程当中得到的幸福和快乐啊，这个我们每一个人都可以感受啊，可以亲身啊感受到的。
So why is it that it's from this point that we really begin our pursuit and our enjoyment of this higher form of of happiness. Well, there is a popular saying that I think expresses the idea well, and this popular saying is that loving others is the beginning of being loved oneself. This is indeed true. When we start to love all beings or have compassion for all beings, then all beings will begin to have compassion for us and to love us. And in such a way, compassion will begin to suffuse throughout the whole world and society. And when this happens, everybody will genuinely feel happiness. So as Mother Teresa had great compassion for countless other beings also had great love for Mother Teresa. So once we are able to cultivate compassion in our own minds, then if upon this foundation we engage in even a very small kind of action to benefit others, then the sense of happiness and satisfaction that flows from this action and this motivation will greatly transcend any happiness that we can derive from sensory pleasures and activities in our worldly lives.
然后我们现在讲的这个癌，就是大乘佛教讲的癌，就是一个物质死的癌，平时我们也叫做大癌那这个癌跟我们世俗的这个癌就是有点不一样我们的世俗的癌就不一定有了这个癌不一定让我们很幸福，为什么这样子？因为它很多时候给我们也带来很多很多的痛苦会带来很多的痛苦。为什么这种癌会给我们带来痛苦呢？就是因为这个癌的大部分的成分实际上就是一种自私实际上就是一种自私就是我们比如说可以看得到这个是自私为什么说这个的大部分是自私呢？比如说我们就是满足不到我自己的这个需求的时候呢，我们很多人去伤害对方那么这个就是充分的说明这种癌就不是一个物自私的癌，这就是一个多半大多数的成分就是一个自私所以呢，这个自私得不到满足的时候呢，本来是爱对方的，但是呢，现在他满足不了自己需求的时候去伤害别人我们经常都看得到谁把谁杀了，谁把谁毁容了经常都看得到的那这个大癌无条件的无自私的这个癌跟这个完全是不一样的，所以呢这种癌菩提心还有就是大乘佛教讲的这个癌就给我们带来无限的这个快乐和幸福这跟我们世俗的这个小癌是完全是不可以比的，完全是不一样的。
So, this love that we refer to, what we refer to in the Mahayana teachings as great love or great loving kindness and compassion is different from a more ordinary or worldly concept of love that we are perhaps more familiar with this. And the reason for this is that this ordinary notion of love is not always able to bring us happiness. Rather, it frequently brings us suffering and pain. And the reason for this is that the main component or the majority component of this love is in fact selfishness. And this means that when we are unable to fulfill or meet our selfish desires, then this love then changes and we harm others. So we can see from this that this love is not selfless, but is in fact in the majority selfish. We can see this from the fact that to begin with we love someone, but then we are not able to meet our own selfish desires, and then we end up harming others. There are many examples of this. We see them very often of people who loved others to begin with and then end up killing them. So great compassion that we speak of in the Mahayana teaching is very different from this ordinary concept of love. Great compassion is able to bring us immeasurable happiness, and there is really no basis for comparison between this great compassion of this great compassion or great love and more ordinary love or limited love that we are used to talking about in our ordinary lives.
好，我们现在这个社会上有很多人啊，就觉得啊，自己的生命啊没有任何的价值。自己没有能力，然后呢，就是，这个啊，经常都很不开心啊，就是这个自闭症，有很多人就是有这样子的自闭症，觉得自己没有用啊。那么这种人，比如说他从最小最小的地方开始，如果投入这个利他的行业当中，哪怕是做很小很小的一两件啊。一两件，比如说每天啊两到三个利他的事情啊，这样子的话，一周两周的时候过去了以后呢，他一定会啊感觉到我的生命是非常有价值的啊，我活着非常有意义的啊，这个一定会从此以后一定会不这个消失啊，端出啊这个自闭症，这是一个非常非常好的方法。所以呢，现在啊，西方的有些心理学家，稍微比较懂佛教的一些心理学家，他们也就是用这种办法来啊，这个治这个自闭症啊，其实是非常有用的。那么佛教里面呢，很早就讲过这个事情啊，我们表面上看，我们发菩提心，然后我们去做利他的事情，表面上看我们在利益别人啊，实际上啊，不仅仅是利益别人，更多的在利益自己。
In modern society, there are many people who feel that their lives are valueless. They feel that they have no ability whatsoever. They feel unhappy. They have a sense of inferiority and no self-esteem. And if people in this situation were to begin by benefiting others in even very small ways, perhaps every day just doing one or two or three very small things to help others, then within 1 to 2 weeks, it's guaranteed that these people would start to feel that their lives indeed have meaning and indeed have value. This indeed is one of the best methods to treat issues of low self-esteem and inferiority. And many psychologists in Western countries who are somewhat familiar with Buddhist teachings also use or recommend this method to help their patients who are dealing with these issues. And this is something that Buddhism has been aware about for a very long time. When we engage in altruistic action to benefit others, on the surface of things, of course, it seems, and we are helping others, but actually at a more deeper level, we are really helping ourselves as well.
然后这两到三个这个利他的事要刻意的去做首先就故意的去做，不是无意当中很专心的去做，也就是说很专心、很认真的去做然后做完了以后呢，也要去要感受要回顾我今天做了多少个利他的事情然后最后把这个作为回向就回向这样子的话，就是就一定会感觉到自己的生命确实是 以前就觉得没有用啊，没有意义，但是现在啊，我很快就把这个想法就转变过来啊，现在就觉得非常有用，非常有意义，然后就活得很开心，一定会找到新的希望啊。那这是一个很小很小的这个事情呢，就如果我们去做的话，其实每一个人都可以做得到的啊。但是我们以前啊没有想到啊，没有想到我去做这么简单几件事情啊，然后把我的所有的这些观念啊转变过来啊，然后之前我觉得啊没有，我活着没有意义，没有，我觉得我是一个没有用的人啊，一个这样子的观念，然后立即就转变啊，我觉得我活得很有意义，我的生命很有价值，然后我是一个很有用的人啊，那这个转变其实就一个这么简单的行为就可以转变的，但是我们不知道，所以呢很多人啊有这样子的病啊。那这个就我们从这一点啊就看到这个自利和利他啊，佛教就讲自利利他，实际上这个利他当中就包含了自利啊，利他当中就包含了自利，利他当中就有自利啊。如果我们投入专心的去利他，那么自利就不需要单独去做自利，这里面已经有了自利啊，这就是大乘佛教的诀窍。
So these 2 to 3 small actions to help others, to begin with, we should do them in a very intentional, deliberate and diligent way. And then at the end of the day, we should recollect the actions that we engaged in today, how many positive actions to help others we did do, and then we should dedicate the merit to all beings. And if we are able to do this, then our lives will have value. Previously, our lives that seem to be purposeless and without value will be able to be transformed, and life will begin to carry new hope. So this is a very small thing, and yet it's something that everyone can do. However, previously, it never occurred to us that it would be possible to change our attitudes through such a small modification or adjustment to our actions. Didn't realize that it would be possible to have a sense of our own lives as full of value and useful and beneficial by simply making an adjustment, a simple adjustment like this. And it's on account of not knowing this and not understanding this that many people are sick and suffering. So that's why we speak in Buddhism about benefiting self and other at the same time. That is, when we benefit others, this actually encompasses benefiting oneself too. When we wholeheartedly invest ourselves in benefiting others, it's not necessary to turn ourselves independently to benefiting ourselves. It is accomplished already. And this is a special approach of the Mahayana path.
好，这一章啊，我们讲了这个慈悲心啊，慈悲心的这个重要性啊，我们为什么要修这个慈悲心的这些理由啊？那这个理由道理啊，我们这两天都讲，昨天也讲过，前天也讲过啊。但是呢，还要讲，因为我们如果还不知道这个慈悲心的重要性啊，这样子的话，那么我们就一般都不太去想啊，去想这个利他的事情啊，我们更多的就会想利己啊的事情。所以这个理论啊、道理、理由，我们必须要讲的要清楚一点啊。然后接下来呢，我们再讲这个具体的方法啊，具体的这个修心的方法。那么具体的修心方法呢，我们昨天啊讲了这个修这个慈悲心的具体的方法啊，然后我们今天呢再继续讲其他的方法。
So we have been speaking tonight as well as yesterday evening and the evening before about the importance of bodhicitta and the reasons why it is necessary for us to cultivate bodhicitta. Even though we have been speaking about the importance of bodhicitta quite a bit, it's necessary for us to keep doing so, because without being clear about the importance of bodhicitta, then we will find ourselves really not thinking about benefiting others, but rather thinking in the majority about benefiting ourselves. So it's very important that we are clear in our minds about the importance and the reasons why we need to cultivate bodhicitta. So tonight, for the rest of this teaching, we are going to now turn to actually methods, concrete methods for cultivating bodhicitta.
好，那么我们昨天啊，就是给大家介绍了这个修慈悲心的三个步骤啊，这三个步骤都是非常非常具体的。具体的方法，那这个三个步骤，我们最好就是打坐以打坐的方式去思考那在如果我们不打坐在现实生活当中去想也可以，但是呢，因为现实生活当中我们的心本来就是很浮躁本来就是很浮躁，所以我们在这个时候呢，让我们去很认真的、很专心的就想。另外一件事情确实是很难所以呢我们必须每一天或者是只要有时间的时候通常就有一个这样子的专门的时间来训练然后在这个专门的时间当中训练的稍微比较好的时候呢，然后我们可以用到这个生活当中用到这个工作上面，用到家庭当中这样子的时候，这样子是非常好的。但是呢，在这个之前开始的时候呢，就有这么一段时间是专门来这个修行那这个用佛教的话来讲，这叫做打坐闭关。
So, yesterday evening in our introduction to the cultivation of compassion, we spoke about three stages of contemplation. And these three are very important stages in this contemplative practice. And it's best, if possible, that we do it in the context of a formal meditation session. That is, we can reflect on these things in our everyday life as we go about our activities. However, since our minds, when we are not sitting down to meditation, are usually very restless, it's difficult for us to concentrate on particular single thoughts and give them all of our attention. So it's necessary, therefore, for us to dedicate time specifically to training our minds and cultivating this practice. And after we are able to develop a strength or a stability in our practice, then we can start to bring our understanding into our everyday life and our family life, our work life, etc. Before this, however, it's necessary that our contemplation or our reflection, our practice, be cultivated in a formal meditation session.
我们必须要相信我们每一个人的心是可以被训练的那这种训练呢，有有意的训练也有无意当中这个训练有意的训练呢，我们打坐修心这样子。然后无意的这个训练是什么呢？无意当中就比如说跟我们的这个经常接触的人也有关系。然后我们所在的环境也有关系。比如说我们经常就接触一些人，他们是非常非常在乎这个外表然后非常喜欢攀比非常喜欢这个炫耀非常贪财 啊，那这样经常跟这些人打交道，然后经常跟这些人混在一起，然后经常这个啊这样子的话，那么跟这些人在一起的时候呢，那么主要的这个话题那肯定是啊怎么样赚钱呢 啊然后等等等等啊，那这样子以后呢，这个人他本来就不，他本来不是这么贪财啊，本来不怎么喜欢啊炫耀攀比的一个这样子的人啊，但是呢，就是因为受到了这些人的熏陶，这些人的影响，逐渐逐渐啊，就不知不觉当中啊，半年过去了以后呢，他也就莫名其妙的就变成了一个非常贪财，然后非常非常追求外表啊的一个这样子的人，那这是无意当中这个培养出来的。
It's necessary that we have a belief in the ability for the mind to be trained, have a belief in the malleability of the mind. However, the mind can be trained or can be molded in ways that are both deliberate and unintentional. So examples of the mind being molded in deliberate ways would be through purposeful meditative practice, and examples of our minds being shaped or molded in unintentional ways would be when we are affected through the relationships we keep and the context or the environments that we find ourselves in. So an example of this would be people who are very, say, concerned with superficial appearances, ostentation, competition, wealth, etc. A person who, to begin with, was not concerned with these things at all, nevertheless, by often spending time in the company of such people, would find that the topic of conversation, the main topic of conversation, would be things like how to make money and so on. And so this person who, to begin with, was not like this at all, would find themselves under their influence within a period of 6 months to within a period of 6 months, gradually becoming like the people around them. That is, gradually becoming more money-oriented, more oriented and concerned with superficial appearances and so on. So this is an example of how we can be shaped or molded in ways that are unintentional.
啊，然后同样的，我们经常接触的这些人啊，如果是一个很慈悲啊，有爱心的人，有慈悲的人啊，然后这样子的话，那么我们跟他们接触的时候，平时谈论的这个话题啊，肯定主要是啊，怎么样利他啊，怎么样关心别人啊，怎么样爱这个别人啊，怎么样利益众生啊，等等啊，多数的时候都是谈论这些。那这样子以后呢，啊，逐渐的啊，自己的这个心理也就啊，慢慢的有了爱心啊。那么就是一年、两年或者半年以后呢，那自己也就是没有刻意的去想啊，刻意的去这个打坐这样子，但是呢，无意当中啊，就是有一定的这个变化啊，那这叫做这就是我们无意当中啊培养出来了这个慈悲心啊，这个每一个人，我想我们很多人都会有这样子的感受啊，所以呢，我们在大乘佛教里面呢，就特别特别的忠实啊，我们的这个导游啊，导游就是经常我们跟这些人接触的这些跟我们一起修心的人叫做道友啊，导友就是我们的师兄啊，一个真正的好的这个师兄，也就是有修心有慈悲心的这个有这样子的慈悲心的这个师兄啊，他们对我们的帮助是无意当中啊，就是就有很大很大的帮助，对我们的帮助是非常非常大啊，那这些都是无意当中把我们的心就培养成有一个从自私到这个利他啊，从一个没有啊没有爱心到有爱心啊，这是无意当中培养的，无意当中也可以培养。
And in a similar way, by being in contact mainly with people who are extremely compassionate, then we will find that the main topics of conversation tend to be how to go about benefiting others and caring for others and loving others. And as a result, slowly, gradually, we will find ourselves turning into a person with stronger compassion. And this is an unintentional or non-deliberate kind of change, one that can take place in us without explicitly engaging in formal meditation. This kind of unintentional change or indirect change is something that many people experience, and it's why, particularly in Mahayana Buddhism, we regard our Dharma friends as extremely important. A good Dharma friend is someone who is a sincere practitioner and who has compassion, and often they are able to bring us great benefit in an indirect and an unintentional way in our process of transforming ourselves from selfish persons to persons who benefit others, and transforming ourselves from an original state of little compassion to a state of strong compassion.
好，然后另外一个培养的方法呢，就是友谊啊，故意的这个培养啊。那故意的培养呢，就是打坐修心啊，专门的训练啊。那这个训练我们昨天讲过了三个步骤啊。那么三个步骤打坐坐下来以后呢，啊，就很认真的啊，去很专心的去一个一个的去思考。思维只要我们去稍微关注一下别人的痛苦，然后尤其是非常重要的，就是我们第二个这个步骤，就是环维的这个思考这个是非常非常关键的。只要有一点在这些上面呢，我们如果花一点点时间的话一定会有这个慈悲心的，绝对是会有的为什么这么说呢？第一个，我们每一个人，哪怕是在这个社会上大家都认为非常非常糟糕的人那么他的心底是善良的他的这个心里是有慈悲心的种子，只不过是家庭的原因、教育的原因、环境的原因、各种各样的原因，他的这个种子还没有成熟而已实际上每一个人都有这个种子那么有了这个种子以后呢，我们现在这种培养的方法让他的这个种子成熟发芽完全是可以的所以呢，这样子这个训练的话，每一个人都一定会有会升起这个慈悲心，这是绝对的只要我们自己稍微花一点时间，稍微下一点功夫的话，每一个人都可以训练我们的这个心我们必须要相信我们的心是无意当中可以变好，也可以变坏然后刻意的这样子的这个训练呢，那更加的，我们把我们的这个心有人心可以变成魔鬼一样的心也可以培养成这样子一个人心可以培养成菩萨的心肠，这个也是可以的所以佛教讲因缘只要有这些因和缘，任何一个东西都可以改变任何一个东西都可以改造所以呢，我们这个之前我们是一个好人或者是一个坏人都不重要从此以后呢，明白了这个道理，然后接受了这个训练然后脚踏实地的去做一点点这方面的工作，也就是接受一点训练那这样子我们的心就会越来越有爱心越来越有慈悲心，这是一个非常具体的方法我们昨天讲的是一个非常具体的方法。
So, just as it is possible for us to, for our minds to be shaped in unintentional ways, so too, as we mentioned, it's possible for us to shape and transform our minds through deliberate or intentional practice. And the way that we would do this, of course, is through the purposeful training and meditative cultivation. So last night we spoke of, we addressed a meditative method, a meditation method, a contemplative meditation entailing three stages where we reflect with great concentration on the nature of the sufferings of others. And the most important stage in this contemplative exercise is where we contemplate the suffering of others by from their perspective. That is the contemplation where we adopt the perspective of another and imagine what the suffering would be like if we were in their shoes. And if we are able to engage in this contemplative exercise with diligence, then it is certain that we will be able to generate compassion. And the reason for this is that even the most miserable person in society, the most wicked person, nevertheless has in their hearts, in their minds, a seed of compassion. It may not be for the time being ripe, but this is perhaps due to external circumstances such as their family situation or education or environmental factors. Everyone, regardless of how they may currently exist, has a seed of compassion in their minds. And we certainly have methods at our disposal for ripening these seeds so that we can generate compassion. Every single person, through investing energy in these practices and by training themselves, will be able to generate compassion. So our minds, it's possible for them to be shaped in ways that they become better or good, or also ways whereby they become bad or worse. It's possible that our minds can improve through non-intentional ways. It's possible that they can get worse too in non-intentional ways. Even more than this, in terms of our deliberate action, it is possible that our deliberate efforts to shape our minds can yield results of these two kinds too. So it's possible for us to shape our minds into the minds of monsters. It's also possible for us to shape our minds into the minds of bodhisattvas. This is entirely possible. And the reason for this is that insofar as we talk about causes and conditions, so long as the causes and conditions for any particular result are in place, then anything can be changed and anything can potentially be achieved. So it is irrelevant whether to begin with a person is good or bad. The important thing is that they understand this principle and that they accept training in the methods of cultivating compassion and by investing a bit of effort in cultivating these methods, then it is guaranteed that everyone will be able to generate loving compassion, loving kindness and compassion. This method or this approach is one that is very practical in nature.
好，这样子，通过这个三个这个不同的思维的方式，也就是我们昨天讲的三个步骤，然后最后呢，我们就会获得一种结果，这个结果是什么呢？诚心实意的发自内心的希望天下所有的众生都没有任何的痛苦，都远离所有的这个痛苦这时候有这种想法发自内心的有这样子的想法的时候呢，然后我们的这个慈悲心已经修成了，已经达到了非常标准这是一个。第二个呢，然后我们有这样子反复思考了以后呢，然后就是发自内心的希望天下所有的众生都拥有幸福不仅仅是离开了痛苦，而且拥有幸福，每一个众生每一个人都幸福快乐就发自内心的而且是坚定不移的有一个这样子的这个信心这样子的这个希望有这样子的希望的时候呢 那这叫做慈啊。这时候呢，我们把这个慈也就修成功了啊。那这时候呢，慈和悲这两个都修成功啊。那这个时候呢，我们自己会知道的啊。我们有些人经常问，那我怎么知道我慈悲心修好了没有呢？啊，那这个当然自己会知道了。我们有没有这样子的想法啊？我们有没有在想发自内心的希望天下所有众生啊离苦得乐啊？我们经常我们自己啊，在我们啊就发自内心的希望我们自己啊离苦得乐啊。我们经常都是在生活当中经常都是从小到大都是这样子啊。那我们从现在开始有没有把这种想法啊这个心源从我的身上然后就是延伸到别人的身上啊，有没有这样子？那有和没有自己非常清楚的，这个比任何人都清楚啊，自己比任何人都清楚。如果有啊，那我这个慈悲心修成了。如果还没有啊，或者是稍微有一点点，但是呢现在还不是很明显，那这样子的话我们还要啊花一点时间啊去进一步的去修啊，进一步的去修，最终啊我们一定会有这样子的这个啊慈悲心，一定会有的。我不知道这个，我们因为每一个人的情况不一样的，也许有些人也许需要半年的时间，也许有些人需要一年的时间，也许有些人呢就一个月就可以啊，但这个就不一定的。总的来说我们每一个人啊，只要自己不放弃啊，能够坚持的话啊，一定会成功的。最后我们一定会每一个人可以把自己的心培养成这样子的这个慈悲心啊，完全是没问题的。
So by following the contemplative exercise that we set out last night which encompasses three stages of contemplation, the result of this will be a sincere wish that all beings be free from suffering. And when we sincerely and very strongly wish this in our own minds, then we will have successfully cultivated compassion, that is, our cultivation of compassion will have reached what you might call the requisite standard for this practice. At the same time, completing this contemplative exercise, we wish sincerely and unwaveringly that all beings enjoy happiness, then we will have successfully cultivated loving kindness. Many people often ask, how do we know for ourselves when we have properly cultivated compassion? Or how do we know for ourselves when we've properly cultivated loving kindness? Well, this is something that, of course, we're able to know and evaluate for ourselves. That is, from the time we were small to the time to where we are now, our wish has primarily been for to be free from suffering for ourselves and to enjoy happiness for ourselves too. So as to whether we have been able to extend this wish beyond ourselves to include all beings, this is something that we are in a better position to know than anybody else. And so we have to ask ourselves, have we been able to do this? Yes, no, a little bit. To what extent? If we've been able to do it, if we've been able to generate this wish in maybe to a small extent but not yet in a very strong way, then we need to continue with our practice. And this is something that every single person, by practicing in this way, will be able to see success in their practice. They'll be able to see results, concrete results in their practice. Of course, everyone's situation is different. It's not possible to say exactly how long this will take. For some people, it may be 6 months. For another person, it might be a year. Everybody is different. It is guaranteed, however, by diligently cultivating compassion through this practice method, that everyone can achieve success in their the results of this practice.
啊，然后我们打坐的时候呢，啊，有些时候啊，打坐虽然是很认真的打坐了，但是确实是没有什么 没有什么感受啊，会有这样子的时候啊。但是这个呢，我们要知道，这是一个正常的心灵反应啊。因为我们是初学者，不一定每一次打坐的时候感觉都非常非常的好啊，这个不一定的。有些时候就确实是没有什么收获啊，甚至是一天两天都没有什么收获，那、没有什么进步，或者是一段时间当中没有什么明显的进步啊，都没关系，只要能够坚持的话就一定会越来越好的啊。然后有些时候呢，我们一开始打坐的时候就感觉特别的好啊，这个慈悲心特别的强烈啊，特别的希望所有众生离苦得乐，特别真的是发自内心的希望天下所有的众生啊远离痛苦啊，拥有幸福，发自内心的去想啊。有些时候呢就比较容易啊就做到啊比较容易做到，有些时候呢就没有感觉，但都没问题的，只要我们能够往前走的话就会越来越好的。
It's sometimes possible that even though we are very diligent in our meditation practice, that we nevertheless don't really experience much result or feeling in our practice. It's necessary though that we realize that we recognize this is a very normal situation as beginners in particular, not every time we sit down to meditate will we see signs of progress, and this might be a situation that we experience for several days or for a period of time. But regardless of the situation, by persevering, by keeping on with our practice over time, it is guaranteed that we will see improvement and we will see progress. Sometimes when we start off with our practice, we have very good results, very strong results. We feel a very strong and sincere wish that all beings be free from suffering, and a very strong and sincere wish that all beings enjoy happiness. And then sometimes when we don't experience much feeling or response at all, whatever the case may be, however, the important thing is that we do continue with our practice and persevere.
啊，然后有些时候感觉比较好的时候，感受比较强烈的时候呢，就诚心实意的想啊，只要天下所有的众生都能够幸福，都能够快乐的话，那我啊无所谓啊，我痛苦不痛苦，幸福不幸福都无所谓啊。如果有一天我有这个机会，我来承担啊天下所有众生的痛苦，或者是我来代替天下所有众生的痛苦啊，发自内心的想，我都愿意啊。有些时候感觉好的时候，就会有这样子的啊，会有这样子的这个决心啊。那么有了这个决心的时候呢，啊，开始有这个决心啊，开始有我们开始啊，希望别人啊，这个别人啊离苦得乐的时候呢，实际上我们自己开始，我们自己啊开始啊离苦得乐。啊，实际上这是一个自然的规律。我们求的不是我自己的这个离苦得乐，我们求的是别人、其他众生的离苦得乐。但是呢，这是自然的规律。我们刚才也讲了，这个利他当中就有利己。实际上啊，我自己的这个离苦得乐就开始了啊。实际上，我自己的这个身心的啊，痛苦开始结束啊，开始结束了啊。那这个就是因为我们投入到利他当中啊，实际上我们不需要单独去利己啊，自己的事情就在这个当中啊，可以成就的。
At times when we feel very strong in our practice, that is our wish that other beings be free from suffering and that they enjoy happiness is very strong, then at such moments we can make the wish that so long as other beings can be free from suffering and can achieve happiness, then my own happiness, my own suffering doesn't matter at all. If in taking on the sufferings of other beings, they are thereby able to be free from suffering and achieve happiness, then I am willing to do this. So this is a aspiration, a resolve, a prayer that we can make at times when we are having strong practice. And actually, when we begin to wish that other beings be free from suffering, then in actual fact, we begin, in fact, to work for the ending of our own suffering as well. And even though, of course, at this moment, we are wishing for the elimination of suffering of other beings. In actual fact, as we said before, through working for others, we also accomplish our own self-benefit too. And so in working, it's not necessary for us to explicitly work for our own self-benefit. By investing in the benefit of others, then our own benefit is automatically accomplished.
好，这个时候呢，我们开始啊修另外一个修法啊，另外一个修法，一个具体的修法。那这个修法有三个啊，三个方面。我们今天给大家简单的啊介绍一下这三个方面的一个三个方面的具体的方法。
And when we have reached this stage of practice, then we can go on to another form of bodhicitta or compassion cultivation practice. This is one that also entails three different stages or three different parts, and I'll go on now to explain these to you.
好，第一个啊，我们发自内心的希望天下所有众生离苦得乐，啊，或者是有些时候呢，我们觉得那、啊、只要众生幸福啊，只要所有天下所有的人幸福，那我怎么样都无所谓啊。有这样子的想法的时候呢，然后我们开始修这个自他相还，啊，自他相还的修法。
So when we are able to strongly wish that all beings be free from suffering and that they achieve happiness, or that so long as they are, all beings are able to achieve happiness, our own happiness and suffering doesn't matter, then at this stage of practice, we can move on to cultivating the practice of exchanging self for other.
好，那么自他相还是什么是什么样子呢？啊，首先我们啊，我们自己啊身上现在拥有的这些幸福和快乐啊，比如说我们自己的身体健康，还有就是心情愉快，还有事业的这个成功啊，家庭和睦等等啊，反正我们每一个人。在这个人间的时候呢，我们的生活当中虽然有，也有很多不顺利的，也有很多不开心的，但是呢，也有很多开心的、顺利的啊，幸福的、快乐的，有的有啊。那么把我们把这些全部去想思考一下，我有什么样的那方面的优点啊，那方面的幸福和快乐啊，那么全部啊想好了以后呢，然后。我把这些我的所有的健康、幸福、成功啊啊，这个愉快啊，全部分享给啊天下所有的众生，我送给他们啊，发自内心的送给他们，嗯，然后送给他们，我怎么样送给他们呢？啊，我的健康怎么可以通，怎么啊，移到别人的身上呢？我的心情的愉快，我怎么样啊？遇到这个别人的这个心理啊，比如说有些时候呢，我们的有些朋友啊，他啊遇到这个生活上遇到了这个困难，特别特别难受啊，特别难受的时候，我们在旁边，我们特别希望啊他不要再难受，不要再难过，特别的希望他开心啊，但是我们不知道怎么样让他开心，我们没有办法我的开心复制给他啊。没有这样子的方法，嗯， 但是呢，我们可以在这个时候呢，用这个自他相反的这个方法去把我们的所有的幸福分享给别人那我们怎么样分享呢？通过一种观想通过一种观想这个观想呢，我们把我们自己的幸福、快乐等等全部就变成了一个百舌的这个气体，也就是说，我们自己的空气变成了我们自己的空气，百舌的气体空气然后我呼气的时候呢，从鼻孔、从嘴巴这个空气呼出去，然后我在我们在这个自己的前面就观想天下所有的众生，然后我把我的健康、幸福、快乐变成了这个白色的空气，然后呼出去，然后就是给予这些天下所有的每一个人、每一个生命，然后我们再观想这个每一个人、每一个生命获得了我送给他们的礼物这是我送给他们的礼物每一个人就得到了这个礼物，然后呢，每一个人也就变成幸福、快乐、成功这样子的一个观想。这样子观想这就是自他相反的第一个步骤。
So in exchanging self for other, exchanging self and other, we wish that all of the happiness that we possess, whether it be our good health or happiness in our minds, our harmonious family life or success that we might have in our careers. That is, even though all of us has unhappy aspects of our life and unfortunate aspects of our life, we also do have many happy things. And so it is important that we reflect on our advantages and reflect on those aspects of our good fortune and our blessings. And after having reflected on these things, we then make a strong wish to share these good advantages and blessings and good fortune with all beings. And how, in fact, do we go about doing this? How actually do we, say, share our own sense of happiness in our minds, for example, with others? Sometimes, for example, we find ourselves in the presence of friends who are experiencing great suffering. And in this situation, it's not possible for us to copy or to paste the happiness that we experience in our own minds on their minds. It's not possible for us to do this. But one approach we can do is to engage in or to cultivate exchanging self and other. And we do this through a process of visualization. We start off by visualizing, imagining that all of our happiness, that is, as we mentioned before, all our good health, our success, our relationships, other forms of mental health, happiness, etc., take the form of a white cloud of white vapor. And as we exhale through our mouths and through our nose, we visualize, we imagine all beings in front of us, and that through exhaling this white vapor through our mouths and nose, we share with them all of our happiness. And we imagine all beings receiving this gift that we have given them, and through doing so becoming healthy, happy, successful, and so on. So this is the first stage of the practice of exchanging self and other.
然后这个然后我们再把这个其他的所有众生的这个痛苦，也就是比如说 身体的不健康，生病疾病，然后呢心情不愉快啊，事业不顺利等等啊，这些所有的这些痛苦变成了一个黑色的气体啊，黑色的空气，然后我们吸气的时候啊，呼吸的这个吸气的时候呢，然后把这个黑色的气体啊就吸进来，全部把所有天下所有人所有生命的这个身上的不愉快痛苦啊，就全部吸收吸进来，然后呢最后融入到我自己的这个心间啊，观想为我的啊这个我执，爱我执，我们昨天讲的爱我执啊，就是一种念头啊，就是我们特别爱自己的这个念头啊，这个黑色的气体全部融入到这个爱我执的这个念头当中啊，全部融入到这个念头，然后呢因此啊，天下所有的众生啊，就离开了啊，离开了这个身体不健康，心情不愉快等等啊，只有我一个人啊，接受了天下所有众生的啊痛苦啊疾病啊，因为我代替了，因为我承担了，所以呢，除了我以外的天下的所有的生命啊，现在他们离开了啊，这个疾病啊，离开了这个心情不愉快啊，然后呢，因此他们都幸福都快乐啊，只有我来承担这个痛苦啊，那这样子观想啊，也要发自内心的这么去想。
The second stage of the practice involves us.Calling to mind or bringing to mind the ill health, the sickness, the unhappiness, and the unluck and ill fortune of all living beings, and to visualize this in the form of a black cloud or a cloud of black vapor. And we inhale this black dark vapor.And in so doing, inhale the unhappiness and suffering of all beings. And this black vapor mixes in our heart with our sense of self-centeredness, what we mentioned last night. This self-centeredness or self-clinging, self-cherishing is an idea or is a thought. And so we imagine that the suffering of all beings in the form of this black vapor make contact with and mix with this self-centeredness in our hearts, and as a result that all beings are freed from their sufferings, their unhappiness, their ill health, etc. So in performing this visualization, we reflect that so long as all beings can be freed from their sufferings, then I am willing to take on all of their happiness, so long as they can be in this, in my taking on of their suffering and unhappiness, that they can be freed from their suffering and can achieve happiness, then I am willing to do so. And we visualize and practice in this way.
好，然后这样子的修法啊，修这样子修法的时候呢，同时我们也要啊，通过语言来表达啊，佛经里面呢，比如说前心啊，里面有一个专门的有几个啊几句话，这个我们可以念啊。如果不没有啊，如果不知道怎么念，没有这些资料，其实资料很简单啊。这个在大圆满的前心普显上是言教啊，这个有电子版，网上可以随时都可以下载啊，那个里面有，但如果暂时没有的话，那我们可以这么说啊，就是愿我的所有的幸福快乐啊，就能够啊，所有众生都能够得到啊，愿所有众生的这个痛苦啊，我一个人能够承受啊，能够代替啊，这样子语言也要说出来。主要是心里想，心里观想。
And in doing these visualizations, we can also recite words to reinforce this practice. These are just a simple set of words that we recite. They are contained in the words of my perfect teacher, which is available in online version. However, if we don't have access to this, then we can simply recite as we visualize, as we do these practices, we can simply recite, may all beings receive my happiness. May I take on the suffering of all beings. And we recite in this way as we do the visualization practice.
好，我们讲这个修法的时候呢，通常啊，很多人就问两个问题啊。第一个问题呢，那我们这样子把我自己的幸福快乐分享给众生啊，那这个观想啊到底有没有用啊，实际上这些众生他们能不能得到这个幸福啊，能不能通过我的这个修法他们啊得到这个幸福和快乐啊，当然我们啊这个没有办法把我们的这个幸福和快乐真正的复制给他们送给他们，这是没有办法，更多的是一个自己的慈悲心的训练啊，但是呢也不是完全没有用，如果有真正有这个慈悲心的话，那我们这样子诚心实意的去把我自己的东西分享给众生啊，以慈悲心的力量，众生啊，绝对会有帮助的，绝对会有帮助。但是这个帮助呢，并不是说我把我全部的东西送给别人啊，没有这样子的办法。但是呢，他们可以得到啊，这个可以得到幸福，有帮助的啊，至少有帮助的。
Typically, there are two questions that many people ask. This stage of learning about the practice. And the first question is whether if I give all my happiness to others in this way through performing this visualization, does it really work? That is, are they really able to receive all of my happiness in this way? And of course it is not possible for us to really take all of our different forms of happiness and give them to others in this way. This practice is primarily a training in cultivating compassion. However, in saying that, it is not completely without use in respect of benefiting others. That is, when we can come to this practice, cultivate this practice with great sincerity, then it will be able to be of benefit to others. At least it will be of some help to others, although this help will not be that of concretely giving all of our different forms of happiness directly to them.
然后第二个问题呢，就是很多人问啊，那我们这样子把这个天下所有的众生的这些啊病啊、痛苦呀、不愉快的这些事情啊，变成了黑色的这个空气吸进来，那会不会我真正的痛苦啊？啊，会不会我真正的会生病呢？啊，刚才我们打坐的时候呢，我们有了慈悲心，我觉得无所谓啊，一时冲动过去了以后呢，啊，然后就开始害怕，会不会真的我会生病呢？啊，但是不需要担心啊，不会生病的，不会痛苦的啊，因为这个是慈悲心，这个我们在心善这么伟大的善，它的结果啊是幸福，是快乐，它的果报不会是痛苦的，所以啊，这个不需要这样子的担心。
The second question that is often asked is whether in taking on all of the suffering and unhappiness and ill health of other beings in the form of a black vapor through inhaling their suffering in this way, is it possible that we ourselves will become unhappy as a result and will become sick as a result? There is no need to think like this. The reason being that the result of our practice in exchanging self for other is the generation of compassion, and the karmic consequence of sowing the seed of compassion is one of happiness. It is not one of suffering. So there is no reason to fear in this way.
好，这个是一个非常具体的修法，但是因为时间的关系，我们今天讲的实际上这个核心的这些修法呢已经讲了，但是呢我们如果想稍微更加的多了解一下的话，那我们可以去上网去搜这方面的这个资料都很多的，像慧能之光的这个网上有很多我以前讲过的一些视频还有电子版的书音频什么都有的还有其他的这些佛教网站上面呢有其他的这个上师讲的英文版的韩文版的都很多，大家可以这个上网去了解那么另外的两个修法呢我们今天讲不完，今天就讲到这里，明天要继续讲，因为明天的这个课虽然是它的内容呢是另外一个内容，但是这个另外的内容当中呢有一部分呢就是菩提心那明天我们会继续讲另外的两个，我们在现实生活当中怎么样去引用，这是一个。第二个呢，我们怎么样把这个慈悲心，用这个慈悲心来消除我们自己的各种各样的担心担忧、悲伤，还有就是焦虑这个压力等等痛苦。总的来说就是痛苦，怎么样就总而言之我们怎么样用慈悲心来解决我们自己的痛苦就这两个今天没办法讲，我们明天就可以继续讲。
So tonight we have covered or addressed the core part of this practice of exchanging self and other. However, since we don't have much time left, it's not possible for us to go into it in further detail. However, particularly online, there are many teachings on this practice. For example, in my Wisdom Light online teaching resources, which include books, video teachings, audio teachings, etc., there is more instruction on this practice. And other teachers as well have taught on this practice, and their teachings are available in English and in Chinese. So tonight we intended actually to introduce two other practices for the cultivation of compassion, and we will continue with this tomorrow, even though tomorrow afternoon's topic is a different one to the topic we've had for this three evening, because tomorrow's topic does entail bodhicitta. We are going to go on with talking about how we can bring compassion into our everyday lives in order to eliminate our worry, our sadness, our stress, and our suffering. So, to put it briefly, how we go about solving and eliminating our own suffering through the practice of compassion.
好，我们今天的课讲到这里。So num de ye dam jo zo ba nya tom ne ni be da na pa she ja je ga na je wa lo de ba te bim zo le ro wa do ro jo om a ho ban za ge ro ba ma sa de Om Ahom Ban Zang Rama Ma Sada Om Ahom Ban Zang Rama Ma Sada 谢谢谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛，大家晚安，扎西德勒。